Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyle for Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and we are continuing to carry our series discussing prayer. So it's an honor to continue this series and to be with you today. And we're just so grateful that you have followed along. I know I've been blessed just preaching to myself. It's been a blessing because we all have to have a life of prayer. So if you have missed any of the other series, then you can go back. I think this is series number 26, and you can listen to that just by going on our website at lifeenrichmentinc.com. That's lifeenrichmentinc.com, in case you are picking this up from an email or from another Facebook account or some other type of social media. I know it's been good, and we have enjoyed talking about the fervent prayer of the righteous and things that hinder prayer. But we're going to continue our series today as we have completed the last one, and we will just give you just a brief overview of what we have been talking about over, so you can listen to some of the past ones. We talked about the hindrances to prayer and how to overcome that, and there are several different aspects that we talked about. But today we're going to specifically talk about God's pressure point. And we know sometimes that it may be a point in your life where you just feel like there's one thing that's been a hindering your walk or your prayer life, or there's some obstacle that you haven't been able to overcome. But we're going to start off, if you have your Bibles, we'd love for you to turn with me, and we will look, we're going to go to Genesis, and there are several scriptures that we have pertaining to this lesson, and hopefully we will get to them today. We'll see how the Holy Spirit is going to lead us. It's always interesting just to see what the Holy Spirit has in mind. But we will look at Genesis, and let's go to the 32nd chapter. And actually what we're going to do today is look at verses 6 and 7 and 22 through 32. So again, that's Genesis, and we are going to look at the 32nd chapter, and we're going to first, I'm going to first read verses 6 and 7, and it says here, "And the messenger returned to Jacob, saying, 'We came to your brother Esau, and now he is on his way to meet you, and 400 men are with him.'" Now, I'm reading out of the Amplified. So it says here, now he is on his way to meet you, and here he has 400 men. "And then Jacob was greatly afraid. He was distressed. And he divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels. He put them into two groups." So these are pressure points. There may be things in your past that you may have had to deal with. God is wanting just to, you know, say, okay, you're going to have to face that giant for your next step of victory. You're going to have to be able to look at your past, and there may be something you've been running from. You may feel like that you're a fugitive, but God, he wants you to have to face it. And how many of you times, sometimes you may have a situation and you're like, oh, I have to talk with that person, or oh, I have to go deal with this, and you'll say somebody maybe in your organization, you might say, well, you go talk to them, or you go deal with this, or it may be a family member, you need to call on the phone, and you may want to put your husband on the phone and say, you call them, and then they may say, well, no, you call them and deal with it. But sometimes we just have to face it, right? We have to face our past. We have to, you know, God, he may put, it may hurt, or like, oh, it's just pressure. But what I call them, sometimes we have to have those crucial conversations. We have to have those crucial meetings. And, you know, we see here, it says, the scripture says he was afraid. Now, you can think of something in your life that you may have to face. And you may just, like, your stomach may, like, oh, you think about it and just may, like, comes over and you may feel it in your gut. And God say, no, 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 just face it. But his way of dealing with it was, you see here, when his messenger came back, he actually told him that about the 400 men. And Jacob, he was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided people. So the reason that he did that was the case. He didn't want to lose everybody in case his brother was coming to kill him or get revenge. But let's go ahead and look down at verse 22, and we'll skim through this, through verse 32. And so it reads as follows. But he rose up that same night and took his two wives, his two women servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the brook. Also, he sent over all that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless what? You declare a blessing on me. Amen? And the man asked him, what is your name? And in shock, a realization, a whispering, he said to Jacob, the planner, schemer, trickster, swindler. And he said, your name shall now be called no more Jacob as a supplanter, but Israel, the contender with God. See, sometimes when we get into a position or a place where we're willing or en route to face the situation, to face the circumstances, to face our past, our name is changed. We go into another level. We walk higher in God. And God changes our name, and he puts his blessing up on us. And he said, your name now shall be called no more Jacob, supplanter, but Israel. Now, what do you think about that? That's better than supplanter and schemer and trickster and swindler. And so he goes on in the rest of that verse. He said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, no more Jacob, the supplanter, but Israel, the contender with God. And that's where God is wanting us to be, contending with him, contending with the faith. So, because he says in verse 29, for you have contended and have power with God and with men, and have prevailed. And then Jacob asked him, tell me, I pray you, what in contrast is your name? But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And the angel of God declared a blessing on Jacob there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, the face of God. And the sun rose up on him, and he was limping because of his thigh. That is why this day the Israelites do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the hollow of the thigh, because the angel of the Lord touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew of his hip. Now, we will be talking about God's pressure points. I don't know how the Holy Spirit is going to lead, but it probably will be over a two to three week session, and some of the chapters have taken longer because the Holy Spirit has wanted to communicate other things and has had other things in mind. Now, let's just briefly turn over to Hosea, and let's look at the 12th chapter. So we are looking at Hosea 12. We are talking today about the pressure points. And I want you just to, as we go through, ask the Holy Spirit to show me, to show you some of the things in your life that you need to face, that he's been dealing with you about, or that God's light needs to shine so there can be a change. There can be an open heaven in your life. Amen? So we're going to look at verse 3. And I'm reading from the Amplified. And we will go to verse 6, chapter 12 of Hosea. And he took his brother by the heel. Now, this was in his mother's womb. And in the strength of his manhood, he contended that the power that he and had power with God, power over the angel of the Lord, and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He met him in Bethel, and there God spoke with him. And the Amplified, it says, and God spoke with him and through him with us. Verse 5, even the Lord God of hosts, the name of him who spoke with Jacob, is the Lord. Therefore, return to your God. Hold fast to love and mercy, to righteousness and justice, and wait expectantly for your God continually. Amen. So, how many of you have ever been to get a massage? I know we've been to Japan, and we've been to China and Korea and Taiwan, and we hear about all of these particular types of massages you can get, from getting just like they have the Swiss massage, or I really like the sports massage, which is really good. But sometimes you get those massages where it actually touches those pressure points, and even it hits a nerve, and you may cringe in pain because it indicates that there's a sore spot that needs attention and needs additional pressure applied to it to work out the soreness that is within the particular muscle that's there. So here we see in his life where he had ran, I'm sure that through his life and all those years that he was separated from Esau after his mother had told him to leave, that he may have thought about that many times. But there comes a point where you have to be able to face and deal with those things that are in front of you. So, a similar thing can happen in our life spiritual. When God puts his finger on a nerve, a sore spot in our lives, and he's just saying, okay, I'm giving attention to that. I want change there. And our natural reaction is to recoil or to wiggle away from all of those painful touches and things that are going on in our lives. So we have to see where Jacob, he ran away from his conflict for all those years. And that bears repeating. All those years. And sometimes we'll have a tendency to turn away from or try to avoid or try to hide or not want to deal with things. You know, maybe there's someone you don't want to talk to. Or maybe it's a child or it's a parent or it's a relative. And you're running. But God, he's saying to you today that he is wanting you to face that conflict. And you may feel like you're getting along well in life, making a life for yourself like Jacob, and never dealing with that original problem. And we have to always go back to it. But if we're going to move in the things of God, if we're going to move in his purposes, if we're going to move in his will for our life and come into our inheritance spiritually, we have to come face to face with the areas in our life that we've been avoiding all the years. And if we are to mature in Christ, like the victorious Christian life, and even to receive our promised land, we have to be confronted with our Esau. So my question to you today is, who is your Esau? So many times we obey God by the front door and retreat by the back door. There's always a way out. There's always an exit. But at some point, like Jacob, he had to leave Laban. And God causes our bridges to be burnt sometime behind us. And he locks the back door and puts us on the squeeze so that we are backed into that corner, or between a rock, as they say. I'm in between a rock and a hard place. So I want you just to think about this. God will do whatever it takes to make us the man or woman of God. Because we are bound for heaven, and we have to have everything right. Amen? We have to get everything in position. We have to be mature. We have to be flexible. God wants us to be adaptable. He wants us to be movable. He wants us to be bendable. But as we see in that confrontation in 32, 6, and 7, when God wants to move on him, the first thing he does, he confronts us with something that may be displeasing to him. Maybe there's some roadblock to a spiritual maturity that you faced in your past. Maybe that there's something that needs to be dealt with even in going to this into this new year of Rosh Hashanah. This is the Jewish, you're going into the new year. We don't want to take it into the next because the blessings of God, they're there. He wants us to see those roadblocks to our spiritual maturity removed. Amen? Maybe you feel like you're faced with your past. Or there's something unresolved. Perhaps it's something that you may see as a strength, but no, it's a weakness of evil. There's a very famous man. You know, God said he would raise us up and make our names great, and that was Watchman Nee. And this is a quote from him. He said, "As long as we live, Our natural strength pursues us. It's always being dealt with by God. So salvation and our growth and our maturity is always progressing. We are going from height to height and from glory to glory. Maybe there's a sense where you're feeling like you're dealing with a spirit of abandonment. Here, Jacob felt like he was left alone. When God is dealing with us, he does get us alone. That's why in prayer, and we've been discussing this, and you can look at some of the previous messages. But I love to pray in the power and in the warfare prayers. But sometimes there is a time where you are in solitude. There is a time of prayer, like the last 2 days. I spent just maybe 4 hours just basking in the just in the solitude, in the meditation of God, to meditate and in solitude so that we can hear what God is saying, so he can visit us. You know, Jacob, he was left alone. And sometimes we need to do that when God is dealing with us. He will get us alone. Sometimes we may feel abandoned. Maybe you feel like God is not there. But we feel as if no one understands. Maybe you feel like your wife doesn't understand, or your husband doesn't understand, or the friend doesn't understand, or the church doesn't understand, or the pastor doesn't understand, and that no one cares. But God is there. And we see in verse 24, as we open up with this in Genesis 32, that he wrestled or struggled with him until daybreak. You may be in your bed at night, and you may be tossing and turning, and you may have fear. You may not want to face. You may want to try to hide. Because what you have, because you think the devil is going to steal it from you because of something you did when in the other life, when you were that trickster and that manipulator, or, you know, having the characteristics of Satan before the Holy Spirit came in. Well, until daybreak, until daylight, he wrestled with God. And the issue was resolved. So it was a long, dark night of his soul. Sometimes we don't recognize the things we wrestle with God. But when we release those things and face those things, when those pressure points and God is putting his finger on it, we can let it go. See, sometimes we don't realize the thing we wrestle with, that it's God trying to get our attention. It's that irritation in our life. It's God putting his finger on our nerve and saying, look, I want you to quit being selfish. I want you to quit being jealous. I want you to lay all those things down because that is not of me. I want you to quit manipulating your brother and your sister. But we want to blame our wife. When that irritation in our life comes, we want to blame our husband. We want to blame our children. We want to blame our neighbor. We want to blame someone that may be in our life. But as I close, remember the circumstances. The irritations of our life, we can't blame the circumstances. We can't blame our bosses, our coworkers. The complaint that we are being pressed and complain and say, it's because God, he is trying to get our attention. And what we resist or feel pressure in is usually where God is dealing with us. So as I close today, And we will continue to talk about this on next week, because we will talk about how do you get into a place where you're weary from the struggle. We see the dislocation, we see the prevail, we see the name change. The purpose of our pressures is to form our character. And we'll go into that on next week. So I just want this week for you to see, where is God touching me? Where is there something similar that's happening in my life where our natural reaction is to recoil and wiggle away from that painful touch? We don't have to run away from our conflict for years. God is saying, for this next level, he has a purpose and he has a plan, that he wants us to be under an open heaven to walk in the blessings. Even Jacob had the promise. But he had to walk through to be able to receive the fullness of the promise. So we just decree and declare today that you will be mature and be flexible and adaptable and movable and bendable, and that you would have confrontation and confrontation and the spirit of abandonment, that it is loosed off of your life, will be able to have those crucial conversations and respond to the pressure and the conflict that is there. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. Thank you so much for tuning in to Lifestyle for Lifetime Holiness. And we'll see you next week. And remember, God wants you to persevere through the struggle. Don't give up or avoid. Press through to victory and blessing. Cling to God and hold on fast to what he has, because he is trying to get your attention. Thank you so much. Until next time, we believe that you will be free when you face that giant that's tried to hold you back. Blessings and empowerment. And I will say to you, love and happiness, success to you, and success to the kingdom of God. God bless.